Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, and a real hobnobber with the stars. Donald Trump and who else?
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart, you had lunch or dinner with on Friday last night. Nicole Kidman. And
quite a weekend.
What's going on with you in your career, Drew? What happened?
Not a hell of a lot.
I thought we agreed we're going to stay home.
I've been trying to.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
listen,
right.
I did that. Oh, by the way, let's mention the UC San Diego thing. That's more important.
Okay. We're going to be out at the University of San Diego, UC San Diego.
University of California, San Diego on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Anyone would like to come see us? It's a lot of fun, really.
Oh, yeah. It's good times.
But you and I haven't done anything in about a year.
No. And this may be it. So
yeah.
Like, watch me.
This is our swan song.
Didn't Dick Shawn die up on stage in San Diego? Yeah, I may be doing that. All right,
but he actually dropped dead. He just
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're just going
to
die.
No, I'm looking to drop dead. So
okay.
Come on out and witness the spectacle that is me dropping dead on stage in San Diego to celebrate the anniversary of Dick Shawn dropping
nice.
Dead.
Nice, very nice.
All right, you want to talk about anything? We'll get right into it. Catherine Lanasa and David Alan Bache is here tonight from Three Sisters, NBC, Tuesday nights at 9:30. Show replaced. What show did this show replace?
Didn't all replace Third Rock, I'll tell you that much.
No, it didn't. They moved
some
things around.
We kind of replaced the Michael Richards show.
Yeah, we did. Kramer didn't cut it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And this is, let's see. I see we haven't seen the show because we're here every Tuesday night at 9:30. But the show...
Neither of us have TiVo.
I'm going to go with the show hit the air 5 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, about that.
It's
about
close. What was it, January?
Five or seven. Yeah, right around January 9th or 10th or something like that.
January 9th.
Yeah, I think we've been on about 6 weeks or something.
And how's it doing?
It's great. It's actually the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Really? It's the greatest show on TV?
Uh-huh. It's the greatest thing ever.
Wow.
isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. Greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. To me, sliced bread, not such a breakthrough.
Yeah, but you weren't around before sliced bread.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, I was saying to someone today, I was listening, Friday night, I was listening to the radio, and someone, it was like a snippet from a TV show, and I go, listen, buddy, I could buy and sell you. And I thought, you know, the sell part, not a big deal. It's really the buy. They should leave the sell right off of that. Like, because put an item in there, like, I could buy that Rolls.
And sell it.
And sell it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure, you could sell it.
Big deal.
It's the buying. I don't know why it jumped into my head, but they should really just stop it at buy. I could buy you, mister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't go over big in the South.
No.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, and you're with the selling.
She's from the South. She can say that.
Oh, you are. Where are you from?
I'm from Louisiana.
Geez, I was just, wasn't I just there?
Did you go to Mardi Gras?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
You from New Orleans?
Yeah, I was born in New Orleans. Both of my parents are from New Orleans.
Were you a prostitute for a while, or isn't everyone a prostitute there?
Yeah, I actually started in prostitution. Funny you should ask.
She was six. She got out by the time she was nine.
The guys
run.
And
then I came to L.A. and I played a prostitute on TV many times, and that's how I got where I am now.
I was only there for 4 days.
We got our time slot.
Yeah, but what I gather, the guys run booze and the girls do prostitution. That's for as much as I could tell about Louisiana.
There's definitely a lot of professional alcoholics down there.
No.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Just about everybody in Al-Anon is from Louisiana. That's what I figure. Everyone runs from Louisiana and joins Al-Anon.
And New Orleans becomes like France in the Tour de France. You know what I mean? It attracts some of the greatest drinkers from around the country and around the world to come out there.
And it's all for the beads.
And compete.
It's all about the beads.
When I was growing up, we would talk in hushed tones about neighbors that didn't drink. No, seriously.
Sure.
It would be kind of like, they don't drink. But they were kind of strange.
You had regular jobs there. Did they pay in beads, those jobs? Like if you...
No, but people will do anything for those beads, won't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know one thing you don't hear about so much, probably because the tourist board isn't excited about it, is that street, that Bourbon Street, about 2, 3 in the morning, it gets fairly gamey. Out there,
you're peeing off the
lot of urine, a lot of vomit, a lot of sweat, a lot of spilled hurricanes and beer.
See, I don't get it. Well, there's a beautiful tourist campaign right there.
The entire street is wet. And plus, it's always, you know, it's always 100% humidity. Yeah. So these beads drop on the ground on occasion. Oh. And if you're not paying attention and you're standing out on a balcony, you can get a hit with a handful of gutter beads, which will leave like a tire track across your face.
Wow.
And it's, like I said, a mixture between a hurricane urine, fecal matter, beer, sweat.
You know, they used to be made of glass.
Hepatitis.
Yeah.
My mother has a chipped tooth from getting hit in the teeth with Mardi Gras.
She got to show faster next time. All right.
From back in the day. Old style beads.
That's a badge of honor. How'd you chip your tooth?
Jessica, some beads.
Jessica?
Yes?
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
I had sex a week ago, and it, like, I keep creaming, and I can't stop, even when I'm not having sex. It, like, it'll go for 15 seconds. And then I'll stop, and then I'll go again.
Wait a minute. You're having
Did you say the word creaming?
Yeah.
Like cum?
Yeah, yeah. We got it.
We follow.
So you're having recurrent sort of...
David's ears perked up.
I was just thinking of the Seattle earthquake. Kind
Are
of
you
like
having
rolling.
Any other symptoms, like an irritation or discharge, anything like that?
No.
You know, this happens sometimes. And sometimes it's from irritation and sort of... Were you guys going at it for a long time?
Yeah, it was like almost... 2 hours.
Yeah.
Holy Christ.
Wow, yeah.
Collectively, I don't have 2 hours under my belt. I'm 36.
Like little earthquakes are continuing to go. Hot baths and time, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
You talking about the spice time?
We didn't ask if she actually wanted it to stop. She just told us what was going on.
It gets kind of weird and uncomfortable, doesn't it?
Jessica?
Yes?
Do you enjoy the sensation of creaming?
Yes, it feels good.
I see. And it's like a mini orgasm?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll keep going for a couple days sometimes.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like my dad used to have a VW and he'd pull the keys out and we'd be walking to the Zodis and it'd still be running.
Yep, exactly like
it's
that.
Like the vagina gets fired
it's
up.
Analogy.
It just keeps running.
It's a carburetor problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They call that dieseling. That's nice. I'd like to make some bitch diesel one day.
Those women are obviously already multiply orgasmic and so they just keep going.
Dylan, that's like some sort of perpetual motion vagina. You just get it started.
Keeps going.
Dylan?
Yes?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had unprotected sex on Thursday.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Why do you not believe me?
Is this Dylan the boy?
Yes.
Yeah, because your voice changes.
Yeah, I know. You say that a lot.
Yeah.
You say that your voice changes, but my voice hasn't changed yet.
No, ass. Yeah, I still think you're a virgin.
No, I'm not.
But what was the name of the girl?
Noelle.
All right. Quick answer.
Came back fast with that, yeah.
Yeah? What room are you in?
We were in a car, actually.
Oh, car?
Mustang.
Yeah, whose car?
It was our friend's.
I see. They let you use their parked car?
They didn't know we were using their parked car.
Right, but you didn't drive the car.
No.
How old was the girl?
The girl, Noelle?
Yeah.
She's 14.
I see. And you had unprotected sex.
Right.
Why did you have unprotected sex?
We drank first.
Oh, I see. Well, that's fine.
That follows.
As long as you're boozing pretty good. And, I can't believe it's coming out of that voice box.
If he'd been sexually abused at a young age, then...
No, he didn't.
If he had been, then this would be no big deal to him, you know what I mean?
Dylan?
Yes?
Did you get sexually abused?
Not really. I kind of fooled around with a girl when I was like 5, but I barely remember it.
See.
All right. Well, that's nothing. How old was she?
She was same age.
All right.
Was it? Did you have intercourse with her?
No.
What'd you do?
We just kind of looked at each other and...
Well, that's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. 69.
Yeah.
Dylan?
Yeah?
All right. So, are you scared you got her pregnant? Oh, what comes out of your penis at this age? Pez? Or is that semen? What?
It
good,
was.
Good planning.
I did.
Was that actually fluid came out?
Yeah.
I see. So maybe you got her pregnant, right?
That was what I was afraid of. But then we tried to get the morning after pill.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let her because she didn't have an appointment.
She's too young, too, huh?
Mm. No, she isn't. Is she?
Oh, she's 14. That's right. Okay, yeah.
I thought she was 13.
No, 14.
Oh, okay. So older woman.
Does she know where she was in her cycle? Could she get pregnant?
Well, that's the thing. Then yesterday she had her period.
Oh, okay. That's reassuring. When did this happen, the intercourse?
It happened Thursday.
A week ago.
Thursday.
So are you guys boyfriend and girlfriend?
I think so.
The problem is that bleeding, even a week or two out, can be an ectopic pregnancy. So you got to be careful if she gets any abdominal pain or if the bleeding seems abnormal. And it's too late to take the morning after pill now. So
yeah, they wouldn't let us because she didn't have an appointment.
Well,
And we tried, but they're not open until Monday.
Yeah. We have a great plan as a nation. Let's keep those gun shows nice and legal. Meanwhile, let's make it hard as hell for teens who have unprotected sex to get hold of the morning after pill. It's just a great look down the road. You know what I mean? It's great planning for our nation's future. And we got to get to Canada.
If we could get a pill for the last call, pill to simulate what the last caller had, a lot of women that would
The creaming pill?
The constant motion.
Well, all right. So she should go to the gynecologist.
Yeah, she needs to be followed now that she's sexually active. If she has any pelvic pain or any heavy bleeding, take her immediately.
All right. Where are we going to? Stephanie here. Stephanie?
Hi, Adam and Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Hey, and Catherine and David Allen, too.
Hi,
three sisters.
Hello. Dr. Drew, I saw you last night at my campus, and you were great for Politically Incorrect.
Oh, thanks.
And it was fabulous. It's not so much a question I have. I'm glad that I followed this call. Actually, I just started an organization. It's called emergencybirthcontrol.org, and it's just to raise awareness about the morning after pill. And I've been listening to Loveline for so long, and it's still amazing how little people know about it and what misinformation is out there. And
God bless you. We are ready to back you up.
As long as it doesn't mean leaving the house.
So it's
emergencybirthcontrol.org.
That's the website.
Okay. And as of yet, we are not incorporated, but we are working on becoming incorporated as a nonprofit. But so far, basically, our goals are just spreading awareness in university centers, especially because I'm a student at UCLA in my last year, and I've even kind of contacted pharmacies around here, and pharmacists are completely unaware of it.
We got your back. You know what I mean? We are on board with this.
Yeah. I'd like to see your front, too, as long as we're covering you. You know, I was just watching the news tonight, and they were talking about these gay bars in West LA having to have mandatory pamphlets on safe sex and fish bowls filled with condoms and all this kind of stuff. It seems, and I was thinking to myself, and I thought, listen, these homos don't need to know another thing about AIDS. They have had ass full of AIDS, pardon the pun. That's going to be the name of my band, Ass Full of AIDS. But the point...
God, help me.
Give me a good...
God, help me now.
Like, these guys are
How
hard.
How much longer are we in here?
I can these guys see are hardcore. Already,
but the point is we don't need to deal... Let's leave the homos alone. They know all about AIDS. They know all about condoms. They know about the risk and everything. What about the morning after pill? Why don't we focus? Where's the direction for this?
Yeah.
Right.
We're busting our ass to get to condoms at gay bars, for Christ's sake.
Right.
Yeah, college campuses are great, but the last two callers were 15 and 14.
Ultimately, I also work for a very prominent rape treatment center, and we do education regarding sexual assaults and sexual harassment and everything like that. And we actually have programs that go into middle schools.
There you go.
And if we could incorporate, you know, something like the morning after pill in those kind of educational programs, it would just be such a service. And this is kind of a shameless plug, I'm sorry, but if you could announce it on Loveline, the website.
But you're talking on Loveline right now.
I don't think it's actually getting through in Los Angeles.
No, I think it's broadcasting again, isn't it? They're back on the air now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't have a radio.
Yeah, no, they're back on the air. The lightning hit the transmitter at K-Rock in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so no, that's bad karma from all the DJs doing drugs for all those years.
Right.
That's God's wrath.
Yeah, and Dr.
Oh, yes.
Also, if you would be able to look at the site and give us any kind of feedback.
You know what? I did look at it just before I came on the air, and I would add one thing. It's a great site, and the only thing I would add is to you bring up a little bit about the phase in the issues of when conception occurs and that kind of thing.
Right.
And you point out that other products cause similar kinds of disruption, like the copper T and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
But don't forget Celebrex, Vioxx, the normal birth control pill, they all have potential of interfering the same elements of the cycle leading to conception and implantation.
Hold on a second, Drew. You looked at the site before you came on there?
Anderson had it up. I just looked at it real quick for
you. Oh, because the call, you saw the call
she
was
said,
on hold?
She said there's a call here about this. Look at the site. You look good. And I looked at it and looked good.
Drew, that's legwork, buddy.
Yeah, a little proud.
I
expect
gets to have
that out of you.
Martha Stewart and Donald Trump.
Yeah, well,
how bizarre is that?
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. Tell us about having dinner with Donald Trump and Martha Stewart and why.
I judged that Miss USA contest on Friday.
Right.
No, you did it. With Shatner?
With Shatner.
Ooh.
With the Shat?
Barrel of laugh, Bill.
How do you know about that, Catherine?
I just know about the Shat from Third Rock. Yeah, you know, because he came on as a big giant head.
But how did you watch? Was it on the air?
Yeah, it was live broadcast on Friday.
I just pick up on all the Shat vibes when he's around. Yeah. I'm kind of a Shat fan.
Was that the one that said this is not your grandmother's pageant or something like that? It's not you. Right?
So how'd you do, Drew? Did you have sex with any contestants?
No, did not.
And, not this time.
No, not this time. Hmm. And they keep the judges away, and we all go out for dinner, and it's Donald Trump is owns the operation, so he sits here, Martha Stewart's here.
What kind of vibe did Karen you get Duffy. From these people?
Martha Stewart is delightful. She's exactly she's Martha Stewart playing Martha Stewart.
Yeah, but
you understand?
She seems like a pain in the ass on TV.
No, but she's but you know she's no more of a pain in the ass than you would expect as a male. You understand what I'm saying?
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's high praise, bro.
No,
yeah.
I mean I know how you would react to her. I thought she was absolutely delightful.
And what about Trump?
He was a very nice. He was aware of our program. Figure out who I was at first. Then when he figured out, he was talking a lot about it.
Sure.
He listens all the time, apparently.
He's got to keep in touch with the young people.
Yeah, and they were all, exceptionally nice people.
All right. Was it surreal?
Completely surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah. And you being high as a kite probably didn't help either,
yeah,
right?
The E was just kicking in, and I'd had a couple bongs before I went out there.
Donald's face was melting.
Martha was sniffing all that craft glue anyway.
No, they were smart. They flew their planes in, you know. And
oh, yeah. They all got their own planes. Sure.
It was really very
There's
interesting.
There's no way in
Karen Duffy and Ananda Lewis was there.
Well, they didn't fly their own planes in. They chartered their own jets.
Have you ever been inside one of those really, really little planes?
I was in one.
It's like being inside a bird. I can't stand it.
Less than a week ago, and yes, I can't stand it either. There's somehow the idea of the bigger the plane, the less it's going to crash or something, and I think it does make sense.
I want to get in the biggest plane I can.
Eric?
Hello?
Hey, Eric?
Yeah?
Can you turn the radio down or the music down, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. Eric is 14. He wants to know about the long-term effects of drawing on your arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you drawing?
Flames, stuff like that.
Flames?
You mean just with a ballpoint pen or something?
Yeah, like a permanent marker.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Why are you doing that?
No, it looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Chicks love that. There's some guy.
Uh-oh.
Who's that, your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think about what dad's going to be like if he's drawing flames on his arms.
Does your dad mind that you're drawing on yourself?
Not really.
No. You know, once in a while, when one of my buddies would pass out because he was loaded, we'd draw a big penis on his back, you know, with an indelible, marks a lot kind of thing. He didn't seem to like that. It took a while to come out and stuff, but we didn't think about doing flames
on his arm. Something embarrassing.
Yeah, what about it? Does that get in your bloodstream at all? Do you absorb that?
Not that I'm aware of. I can't understand why you would. I've never heard of anything like that. There's a certain amount of, I guess, hydrocarbon in that, but...
Do you want a tattoo, Eric?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Well, good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you draw some eyebrows on like my grandma does? that should be your next move. You ever see those women who get the tattoo
permanent
stuff like lipstick?
I had a woman that worked for me one time. She had the brows, the eyeliner, and the lip liner.
Oh boy.
Yeah. It always ends up looking like a clown painting, right?
I don't quite get it.
What if you did flames for eyebrows? That would be cool.
That's what you should do.
The way to go.
Flames on the forehead.
I think it's little, like, sort of permanent, markation of one's body is a good plan. Like, just sort of don't mark yourself up too permanently.
Yeah, I think the Jews got that right.
That's right. It's against many religions.
Is it?
David?
Makes good sense.
Oh, yeah.
I bet that's one thing God actually said.
Yeah, he may have said that. Yeah, he may have actually said that.
He said, don't draw on your arm.
Dave?
Oh.
Dave, you're 22. What's that?
Hey, my name's actually Stan.
Mm-hmm.
I just made up that. Adam, I'm your biggest fan.
Great, Stan.
I was calling because...
Hey, Stan, let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Why go by Dave if your name is Stan?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with the name.
No, but what, if you started with the false name, why announce first thing when you get on the radio that you've been lying?
And don't go with Dave. Go with, like, Alejandro.
Right.
Think of something cool.
Okay, well I'll tell you the truth.
It could just be Dave.
Right. My name's really Dave, but I was just going to... I'm a big fan of Adam. Adam.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Drew, you, I respect you a lot. You have,
you have a question or something?
Yeah.
What's up?
It's about a DNA test.
Yep.
I've tried calling different places, and I can't find any place that has them to find out the results for, if if you're HIV positive.
Why don't you do an antibody test?
Do you want to get the fast test?
Yeah, because, well, I mean, it happened like about a month ago. I had unprotected sex.
Yeah, the DNA test is not going to be super accurate in screening out the possibility of you having been exposed, okay?
Yeah.
If it's positive, it's very accurate, but if it's negative, you still need an antibody test anyway.
Hey, how does that math work?
It's basically that if you have been exposed, there's going to be an antibody response.
Right.
But it's less predictable when the DNA production is going to kick in, how much virus can be produced. That may be delayed, maybe, you know, at 6 months, everyone will have had an antibody response.
You know what's going through my mind right now?
The Charlie Brown's teacher?
The theme from Superfly.
Yeah, okay.
I'm lost now.
Wah, 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 wah.
Dave?
Yeah?
Who were you having sex with, a high-risk person?
No, it was just a girl I met at a club.
All right. Well, yeah, you're probably fine.
You're probably fine. Go ahead and you should get a test anyway to be responsible. Get other screening done.
And where can he do that? He can do that where?
Yeah, any healthcare provider can do that for you. And their alternative test sites can do it very anonymously. But you want to be sure you get the counseling done before and after the test is done, and then again at 6 months. And don't look around for people always want to get around the system, right? There's a reason that the screening tests are the screening tests we have. Use that. If you start screwing around with the system and doing things that are not considered standard of care, you're not getting quality care. You're messing with a system that's a certain way for a reason.
All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Catherine and David Allen are both here from Three Sisters, NBC, Tuesday nights, 9:30. When we come back, we'll speak to Andrea. 26 was with a friend and her husband. Ooh, a little threesome after this. Catherine and David Allen are both here from Three Sisters. We're going to speak to Andrea, although I bet she's going to tell me to pronounce her name differently. Andrea?
Hi. No, that's all right.
All right.
Not Andrea.
Hey, you're 26?
Yeah.
Now, what's up with you?
Well, I just found out a while ago that my best friend's husband has hepatitis C, and I just want to make sure if I'm all right with, you know, being intimate with both of them.
You're going to be intimate with both of them?
No, I have been for about a year.
You should be. What is going on? You should be tested for hepatitis C for sure.
Yeah?
For sure. It's not an easy thing to get that way, but it does happen. I'm totally convinced of it.
Hepatitis C, you mean pass sexually?
Certainly through anal sex it can be, and probably through vaginal test.
Yeah, I'd say that's in. Is that in your range, Andrea?
Yeah. So anal is more.
Oh.
Mm. Anal, anal threesome?
There's another good band name.
Anal threesome and ass fillet. Who would open for who? I think anal threesome.
No pun intended. Yeah.
The backup is the
all sort of open for each other, though, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, his wife said that there wasn't any problem because she's talked to his doctors and.
That is BS. It is one of the diseases. It's transmitted exactly like HIV.
Okay.
And there's been debate about whether it can be sexually transmitted, but I promise you it can.
Oh, wait a minute.
And certainly through anal sex. And by the way, in his wildest imagination, her doctor didn't think that he was having threesomes with neighbors and having anal sex with them. So,
well,
were you having anal sex with them?
Yeah, both, all, you know, whatever. But
where was she?
My wallet?
She was involved.
She was involved.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you, this guy says he's got quite a wish list here.
Well, I work with him. And
oh, well, if you guys are college, that's different. I've cornholed engineer Anderson Drew. Of course. I didn't know you guys worked there. Why'd you say something? It's totally a totally different scenario. Sure.
She gets tested all the time. And
tested for what? Tested for what?
A hepatitis.
I see.
If she has no risk, why does she get tested all the time?
Likes to make sure, but
well, because she may well get trans. Why are we not using condoms with this guy?
Well, he's fixed and
But he has hepatitis.
Was he an IV drug user? Yes.
No, he got it from blood transfusion.
Why did he get blood transfusions?
Leukemia. Mm-hmm. 12 years ago.
Mm, well, maybe he's on borrowed time and he's living like there's no tomorrow. It's like
last wish.
Honey, if you make it through the surgery, I'll give you anything. All right, how about anal with your best friend and a nice threesome? What do you do for a living, just because it'll be funny?
I work in a lab.
You work in a lab?
Yeah.
You don't happen to do hepatitis C tests at that lab, do you?
No, but no. They do them right next to where I'm at.
Here's the question that always makes my scrotum hurt. Do they have any kids?
Yeah.
No!
Of course.
Oh.
Two boys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
And I have a daughter.
Oh,
great.
Uh-huh.
Great. You guys are wonderful, wonderful role models. Wonderful. And you know what I love? I love it when they go, no, you know, we don't let them in the room. They don't know what's going on.
That's
yeah,
right.
They don't know what's going on. They're just raised by two nut jobs. They're well aware of the being raised by two nut job part. That mm-hmm. leaves the bedroom as soon as they zip their pants up. Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Catherine.
Yeah, one of my son's friends walked into one of those scenes.
With his parents and somebody else?
No, it was a girl that he went to school with, was spending the night with another girl, and her parents had company.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Swinging Hollywood yeah. crowd you run with.
Yeah, we changed schools. We ran from that. We're Puritans.
Hey, Andrea?
Yeah.
All right, so get tested, and why don't you knock this off on behalf of your child? Yeah?
Yeah.
Listen, here's what I bet. You're into this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're totally into the. Your wife,
is she
your
married?
Best
Did we establish that?
Yeah. Where's your
I'm
guy?
Yeah, well,
no.
I'm divorced.
Yeah, you want your best friend's husband.
Well, I was more into her at first, but now she's not really into me.
Don't you want to bet on Andrea?
Yeah, all right.
What?
All right, hold on. We got to gamble on you. I know it's been a while, but let's get the money out, everyone. Yeah. Has everyone got a dollar? You don't have any money there, Drew?
What are we betting on?
We're gambling on her past. It's going to be tough, though, because she's going to be pretty tough nut to crack. Well, that's why we're gambling.
What are we gambling?
Just get the dollar. What sorts of trauma has she survived in her childhood?
And by the way, what if she takes off with the husband? What is the ex-wife going to do? You cheating son of a bitch! I knew it. I knew it from the first time you cornholed her, and I was there handing you a beer. I knew there was something going on between
something more.
You. You know, a woman feels it. A woman has a sixth sense where she has an intuition.
See, I tend to think that kind of behavior is more deviant than maybe stemming back to sexual
abuse. Just get the money out.
Magic. We'll magically
put my watch in.
We'll magically
get the money out. All right, David has put his watch in.
Right. What? You're betting your watch?
I don't have my watch.
Oh, it's a prop watch.
He's just spotting a watch.
What am I betting?
You get
I don't
a
even
dollar?
Know what I'm betting on.
Oh, fine.
Swatch.
Good.
All right.
Five. I'm fancy. I'm on a TV show. I'm betting $5.
It'll cover the $8.
All right, here's what we do. We gamble on Andrea's past. What got her to this position today that she thought that this
literally,
lifestyle would be okay? Yeah.
I'll go last.
You'll go last?
Oh. Well, you You're go, the pro go, at it. You
go
show
first.
Us how it's done, Drew.
No, go first to set an example. Go ahead.
You go first because I'll refine it based
on okay.
Right.
Yeah. I would say, it just, you know, it's got to be some kind of wholesale sexual abuse. Physical? Dad was maybe. Physical abuse from dad.
Okay. Anything follow up to that?
Right. Okay.
No, I'm just going physical abuse.
Okay.
All right.
Next.
I'm going to get that out of her. Go ahead.
You go first. I'm playing the psychologist.
Alcoholism's a good angle.
I was going to say alcoholic mom who was unfaithful to
Ooh.
The husband.
Oh, that's
nice.
Good. Go on.
Good angle.
Mom was unfaithful to the husband.
And alcoholism for the mom.
Yeah, right.
Catherine?
Some kind of betrayal. Some kind of betrayal of one parent. Probably abuse is a good one.
What kind of abuse?
I guess I'd have to say... Well, I'd say probably sexual abuse by a parent.
Parent, okay.
Sexual abuse by a parent. Yeah, there's a deviousness right. to that.
Well,
there's something...
That's where sexual right. compulsion deviancy comes from.
Drew, go ahead. You're going neighbor?
I'm going addict, definite addict dad. I'm going strong addict dad thing, like even a heroin addict dad, maybe. But sexually abused by a peer female around age 10.
Because she was into the wife at the beginning.
That's why I went mom. I thought...
she was into the...
And she'll say, by the way, it wasn't sexual abuse. We were just messing around.
I know, but that was good. She was into the wife. Good call. Andrea?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the past real fast here.
Okay.
All right.
Well, my dad's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I was adopted, so was my biological dad. My mom's schizophrenic. Mm. She wasn't available to raise me, so. Mm-hmm. And sexual abuse by my dad.
Biological.
Yeah. And physical.
Physical.
Everybody got to pull around the horn here.
Yeah,
and then religious abuse by my adoptive family and emotional and...
Now, what is that? They hit you with rosary beads? Or what's religious abuse?
Well, you know, you're going to burn in hell, Bible thumping all the time.
Adam, you saw Carrie.
Yeah.
How old were you when you started carrying on with girls?
I've liked girls for a long time, but I've tried to ignore it because I know it was bad. So.
When did you first start having a little experimentation with women?
I was probably in fifth grade.
Ooh.
10.
Drew's going for the gold here. Yeah, with a peer?
Yeah.
All right. So that was your first contact with a woman?
Yeah. All right. That I remember.
Fifth grade. All right. All right. So, hey, baby?
Yeah.
Can you get your tubes tied, by the way?
No, I only have one.
I know. That's plenty.
I would like to have more.
I know you would, but it wouldn't be good for society.
Or for the kids, more importantly.
Yeah, we're worried about the kids.
I'm worried about your daughter.
All right, can you?
Unless you get involved in some very, you know, regular ongoing treatment for.
I've been.
Okay.
Keep it up, would you?
I see a psychiatrist.
All right, good. Keep it going.
Great.
Stay with it,
and just no more with this couple. All right. No more acting out. Just start being there for your child and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. All right, baby.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
See if you can do for your daughter what nobody did for you.
Yeah.
That's the plan. All right.
Take care of yourself.
All right. Well, we give the money to Drew.
No,
sorry.
No,
you can have a piece of my watch, Drew. You know.
Never get some money back.
Look, we all had a little something
everybody.
In there.
I hit the absolute zinger with the 10-year-old.
The mother, but you
take
that one.
Yeah, no, Drew got it.
The abuse.
It's a very strange thing for a woman to do that to another woman. It's like it has to be some kind of major deep-seated betrayal one parent.
Yeah.
Well, she was adopted from an addict dad to an addict dad, was sexually abused by them, religiously abused, and then started acting out
physically abused,
then acting out on their peers at age 10.
All right.
Is it about age 10?
You know what? It's strange. I just get a feeling about where their development really got into trouble. Or the arousal mechanisms got diverted. What normal sexual development gets sort of off track. And it's just from listening to so many years of these people, I just get a real clear sense.
Huh. Lucky guy. Steve?
I'm going to talk to Drew after the show, figure out what's wrong with me.
Steve? Oh, he can tell you during the show. Steve, you're 18. All right, Steve's like
let's take a break.
On hold or something. All right, let's all...
We shot our wad. Let's wipe our brow. And
wipe what? Our belly?
Wipe down.
Wipe our wad.
All right, we'll collectively wipe our wad off now that's been shot. We'll take a break.
And it's like we're all good for you, as if like we have any idea what that's like. I can tell you that quitting smoking was... I just wanted to kill myself every day. Can you imagine what getting over that must be like?
You know, I mean, that's what empathy is about. I mean, I think all of us in the room probably know somebody in some program or with some addicted to something or has been or working on not being, and
I run a program, and it is an incredibly painful process for people.
Monica,
yeah,
you're 16. What's up?
I was listening. I think it was last week, and a girl had called up, and she had had oral sex, but had not orgasmed. And you had asked her if she had had sex, and she said no. And so you said that was very common. I have had both intercourse and regular oral sex, mm-hmm. and I have not orgasmed at either.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if that was if it was a little abnormal.
How about when you masturbate?
Huh?
How about when you masturbate?
When I masturbate, I do have orgasms.
All
yes.
Right. So you're actually ahead of your peers, because most 16-year-olds can't have it no matter what. They can't quite figure it out. Nah, most. Not
really?
All. Yeah. About around 18, they sort of start getting it figured out.
Well, I think the guys start figuring it out too.
How to help them? Yeah.
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 I mean, they don't drive the vagina very well.
Let's
they just got their
way.
Learner's
permit.
Their permit. You know?
There is no break-in or training period for the male.
Okay.
Male with the orgasm.
Yeah, the male hits the ground running. Pow. The women, it takes a while for it to sort of figure itself out.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Good.
You're fine. You're all right.
You're a little ahead of the curve, maybe.
It works. It's hooked up, right?
I hope so. Yeah.
Well, you're having the orgasm, right?
Yes.
And when you masturbate, is that a water-related sport?
No, not really.
I see.
Okay,
not really.
A little shot in the dark there.
But yeah.
All right, that's good. No, see, sometimes women say, well, I can have an orgasm when I masturbate. And I think, all right, well, if you can have one from sort of diddling yourself, you mm-hmm. can have a guy work it out for you, too. And then they tell you they lie under the log jammer at Magic Mountain and have a flume go up them. And I go, all right, well, now a guy can't do that.
Well, with the right equipment, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if a guy drove one of those tanker trucks or something. But when I'm
got enough batteries, I mean, you know,
I'm saying realistically, ladies, it's great when you have the orgasm in the tub and everything. But if that's the way you get used to it, don't you know? Unless you're dating Aquaman, it ain't gonna happen. You know what I mean?
For a disclaimer,
size of a waterfall.
Yeah. All right. Let's. By the way, communicating with fish was never, like, I never thought of that. Even at, like, 8 and 9, I thought, that's no good superhero trait. You know what I mean?
Aquaman.
Superman.
Like, what was he going to do with it?
Spider-Man. Yeah, I can talk to a school of a yellowfin tuna, you know? Oh, that's great. Next.
But the whales and the dolphins.
Yeah, that'll save.
Of course, those are the only non-fish that he communicates with.
That'll save the planet. Yeah. You get that starfish to do something.
I always wanted to be Plastic Man.
All right, we will take ourselves a little break, and when we come back, we'll speak to Brian. He wants to, he wants to ask Catherine about her husband, who's none other than French Stewart, after this.
Grouchiest person in the world in the morning. I appreciate being married to him. He's pretty funny.
He's like one of the nicest people in showbiz.
He is a very
sure is.
It's awful being married to him. He is actually unbelievably, sickeningly nice and friendly and... everybody likes him better than me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. I mean, French Stewart, yeah.
But I've got a better ass.
That's right. Yeah. All right, yeah.
Okay.
Yes?
And I wanted to say that I really, really, really like the show. I seriously can't say enough about it. I watched Frasier, and it just kind of snuck up on me, and I think it's really crisp. I like it a lot.
Great. Oh, good.
For David and Catherine jointly, are your buttholes as big as Mason's?
Brian. I really want to hear the end of that.
They don't
I know,
that,
I'd want to know.
Wait, Brian, you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I like you hanging in with us for that one.
Well, yeah I mean, you know.
That
also,
was courageous.
As big as what?
And we'll tell you. Explain it in a minute.
Okay.
No. Here's the thing, like, I just...
No. All right, hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to go, right?
Really?
All right, yeah, I mean, come on.
I know.
All right, but thanks. All right, good time.
Good time.
We had a guy some years ago, 4 years ago?
I don't know.
That would tell us these elaborate stories, and at the end... He would describe this girl that was involved in these awful traumas as the most distinguishing part of her, that her butthole, when you say her, the anus was as big the size of a mason jar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was the punchline.
Oh, great. Uh-huh.
And he'd drag us in these long stories. We'd be, oh, great. And then, uh-huh, pow, we'd get that. And finally, right, I got so I could hear his, I could recognize
his
voice.
You'd know his voice when he called, right?
Second he'd open his mouth. Now, other listeners.
People have picked up. They're carrying the torch.
Carrying the torch, yes.
Yeah.
Well, David's this, though. It's funny that he would ask that.
I still think he enjoyed the show, though.
Yeah, I was just glad that he's watching the damn show. We'll take the ratings.
Yeah, he said it was crisp.
We'll take anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Crisp, that's right. He said crisp.
Yeah, crisp writing. D?
Hi.
Hey, you're 23.
Yeah, hey, Drew, hey, Adam, Catherine, and David.
Hey.
Hello.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's about my girlfriend, actually.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. She's extremely tight.
Yeah.
Like,
lucky you.
No, not good, because it hurts her.
It's pain when you try to penetrate.
Yeah.
Have you ever been able to penetrate?
It hurts at first.
The answer to that is
afterwards, kind of
loosens up a little bit.
Yeah, but as soon as, like, she orgasms, it's tightened up again.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
How old is she?
21.
Uh-huh.
Is she okay?
Yeah, normally.
She doesn't have an emotional problem. She doesn't feel bad about having sex.
No, not at all.
But she has the orgasm via intercourse, right?
Intercourse or orally, yeah. Not a problem.
Okay, so she's functioning extra normally.
How long does it take her to have an orgasm through intercourse?
Like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, not bad.
There you go.
All right.
It hurts. It's actually the lower part of the opening. Is where it hurts a lot.
And that's just at the beginning. It doesn't come back again later in the action.
Actually, it comes back if we try doing it again after she orgasms.
Okay. And nothing, no irritation there or anything? No, you know, sometimes they can get a little sort of cracking and splitting.
Oh. Like a vinyl top?
At all.
is there a anatomic problem here? Or are you guys don't fit right? You know what I'm saying?
You a big guy, D?
I don't like bragging, but I'm about a little above average.
Okay, so it's not like that's a big issue.
No.
Okay, there is spasm of the muscles of the pelvic floor that can occur from anxiety, and sometimes that is something called vaginismus. But vaginismus can also be a sort of a spinal reflex that has to be deconditioned.
Yeah,
and
okay.
She may really have that because it doesn't sound like she's uptight about things. It just she has this automatic response that she gets.
Are you using condoms?
No.
No.
Using lubricants?
Most of the time, yeah, we have to.
Sorry, how come you're not using condoms?
Because we're going to be engaged and we kind of only been with each other.
All right. But what about her getting pregnant?
Yeah, that's...
She's been on the pill, so...
She had a pelvic exam recently?
Actually, I think she just went for her pap smear thing.
Everything's okay?
Yeah, everything's working normally.
So this is going to be one of those things you guys are going to have to work with.
Another thing is, like, she doesn't get wet.
All right, so that could be...
It's not on the outside.
Yeah, that could be a bigger issue.
Who does get wet on the outside?
Well,
they do.
Well, I mean, it has
sweat,
to,
right?
But
no,
it has
it's like bone dry.
Yeah, all right.
That's
all
why we've been using like KY liquid.
She's cranked down. Can't get on the outside.
All right. I don't know. I was thinking about every guy's got to be a goddamn gynecologist these days. You know, I mean, we really
amateur.
Do.
Yes.
And we all have to dabble.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
as they say, Adam, we've all got our fingers in the pie. That's,
There was just a time, and I don't know, maybe it was a better time. I think it was better. Where, you know, that was...
Mystery.
There's a mystery woman's business between her and her doctor. I don't know. I'm old-fashioned that way. I just like that.
I think...
Faked orgasm.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Like automatic vaginismus, by the way. Automatic vaginismus. That's the next band name.
Yeah. So we have...
So what do we have now?
I ate that for dinner last night.
Ass full of AIDS.
Ass full of AIDS. Dry anal rape. What was the other one?
Anal threesome or something
like that.
Anal threesome or, yeah. Well, I can't figure out the other bands.
Vaginismus. But I think guys are fundamentally freaked out by that part of women's anatomy. I think that's like a primitive response that men have to that. It freaks them out.
Yeah. Well, we worship it, but it's like the volcano god. We worship it, but we're frightened of it, too.
Exactly.
Ongawa. It's like, oh, it's erupting. Run!
Volcano
it's taking
god.
The village.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's all
god.
Tied in, isn't
all
it?
Hot
yeah.
Lava.
Yeah.
It's like all kinds of ego and everything else tied in there.
No. You know? I think something very primitive. I think guys just, it's like spooky.
No, but I mean, like, I think if guys can get women to different places sexually, I think that means a lot to them.
It does mean a lot to them, but
so
but,
it's, there's
but
something
that's,
to be gained from mastering it.
But that's on a that's on a much more sort of mature level, believe it or not. On a primitive level, they're scared of it. They literally fear they're going to get sucked back in, that it's something mysterious.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Something in the id
we also
goes way, way back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also don't have one. I mean, you know,
it's
like
very scary, very primitive kinds of reactions they have to it. And I think that's where men fundamentally try to control female sexuality, because the whole thing is sort of scary and out of control to them.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. Good times.
Katie?
You're a spaz with that saying.
You're 16. What's up? That's my way I smoothly transition into the
good
call.
Segue. I dig
good
it.
Good times. Of course, I'm going to say that now all month.
Katie?
Adam, I love you. And
thank you.
The man show rocks and you're
thank
so
you.
Hot and all that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And,
good times, yeah.
And Drew, you're like a genius.
All right, Katie, what's up? Yeah.
Okay, so I got my nipples pierced in like November. Mm-hmm. And they were fine like for a really long time, but now just recently, like one.
They have a cold weather discount over at the piercing place. They don't have to coax the nipple out.
It's a 2-for-1 special. I
know. But like
how is
one,
that?
Huh?
How is that? Is it pleasurable?
Oh, God, yes.
Really?
Yeah. They're so extra sensitive. Like, I can rub into something, and it's just like, ooh. But recently, like, one, it starting, like, 2 days ago, it was, like, bleeding and, like, pussing.
Lovely.
And it hurts a lot. And
take it out.
But
you got to get it out.
The thing is, like, I can't really take it out myself because it's, like, a hoop with, like, a ball in it.
Then
and
you
got to
go back to the piercing place and get it done.
I didn't get it done at the piercing place because I'm only 16.
Uh-huh. So, who did it?
Oh, what?
Who did it?
Drifter.
Friend?
No, it's this guy, but he's kind of scary, and I don't want to go back to him again.
Katie, you can get a very serious infection from this.
How serious.
You may need antibiotics.
Tetanus,
maybe you ought to go see your doctor.
And, who knows what else?
Well, just listen. You can get the flesh-eating bacteria. You get all kinds of good stuff this way.
You just let some weirdo dude do this?
Yeah, well, I kind of knew him, but
yes, the answer is yes.
Some guy in a white van parked out front.
mostly primers, to be fair. Katie?
Yeah.
And what about, I mean, your 16-year-old girl is just pulling up your top and having this strange guy work on your breasts? That wasn't weird?
No, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, but worth the pain, huh?
Yeah, it hurt a lot, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, now it's infected. Now yeah. it needs to come out. You need to do hot compresses on it starting tonight.
Okay.
And you're probably going to need some antibiotics. And know that it can go from that to something very serious rather quickly.
What else is going on there, Katie, in your life?
What do you mean?
It doesn't sound like it's going that great.
Huh?
It doesn't sound like it's going very well.
I don't know. I have a horrible relationship with my father. And
shocking.
Stuff like that.
Shocking.
Is he an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're doing a little acting out?
Yeah, yeah.
How about Allatine, maybe? Allatine might do more for you than anything else.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Can you check out Allatine?
Huh?
Check out Allatine.
Okay.
Right. Slow down a little, baby. Stop acting out so much, right?
Okay.
You don't want to ruin your permanent record, right?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, listen, everybody. You got a permanent record. You really do. I mean, you don't want to get hepatitis. You don't want to get AIDS. You don't want to get pregnant. Women, you don't want to have 150 guys you slept with before you get to your husband. You just slow it down a little bit. None of it goes away. You know what I mean?
You know, lock yourself in your house like Adam does.
Yeah. Wait for the Grim Reaper.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what I did. You know, I got out of bed at 3:30 today.
Oh my gosh.
In the afternoon, I didn't move. Yeah.
Sounds wonderful.
I watched about 17 hours of TV today. Absolutely. Masturbated twice.
Oh.
It's a big day.
Good times.
No, I didn't leave. Didn't
good
leave.
Times.
Did not leave. You understand? That's how I like it.
I understand.
I suggest you all do
now,
the
but
same.
Wait, one quick question, though. Is it okay if the guys go and sleep with, 150 girls before they get to their wife?
No.
No, yeah, that's all right. That's okay. No. It's a little
different.
You
know what? I have to say, I've never understood that. Women seem to be attracted to guys that have these sort of reputations as being womanizers. I've never understood what was appealing about that. It always seemed kind of
what's appealing is that lots of guys are that way. Therefore, a certain number of women had dads that were that way, and that's what's appealing about it.
Well, you know, it's like Warren Beatty was always considered so sexy, partly because he had this reputation for having slept with all these women. Mm. But I never.
A healthy woman would look at that and go, ugh.
Yeah, it seemed kind of gross. I don't want something that's been everywhere.
Huh. A healthy woman would say that, but a woman who has...
been everywhere, I don't want to know about it.
Right.
But furthermore...
French did tell us a couple things last time he was in here, but...
Well...
I'm sure he had his fun.
Call him French. Whatever they got, a ramp, they got a sports car, they got whatever they got, there's a reason why they have a high tally. Mm. I never did figure that one out myself. Steve?
Yeah?
You're 20.
I am.
What's up?
Well, a couple questions, actually. One... after a prolonged sexual encounter with my girlfriend or whatever, mm-hmm. it starts to feel like I'm shooting blanks.
What does that mean?
Well, like, it doesn't... here's another thing. After an orgasm or whatever, it doesn't go down.
Oh, it doesn't? Well,
no.
So you're
and
lucky.
I mean, I know Adam's going to say that, oh, all right, but
good
it's
times.
Not that great of a deal.
Well, how long?
No, I know.
Well, I'll say it. Good times.
Yeah.
What do I care? How many times... Okay, if you ejaculate again, does it...
Yeah. Like? No, I mean, you can... It doesn't go down as long as I'm doing anything.
How many times can you go, are you good for?
6-8 hours.
Mm. 6-8 hours?
You want any medication?
No, it's always been that way.
No, but what?
But, what was the but?
No, it's always been that
way. Adam, you want any medication?
No. And what about, that container of liver you've been humping for 8 hours? Is that,
No,
you really, is there a woman you can hump for 8 hours?
Yeah.
They don't take shifts?
Well,
it's not more than one woman?
One girlfriend, so.
I see. All right, so he has that prolonged erection that won't go away.
Well, right, but I mean, like, after a couple of orgasms, you know, it starts to feel like I'm shooting blanks.
What do you mean shooting? Well, you mean no fluid comes out?
I don't know.
Well, probably no fluid comes out. Yeah.
Nothing in you.
Are you continuing to orgasm yourself?
Yeah.
You have the sensation of it.
Yeah.
So you just don't feel like anything's coming out.
I mean,
it's not coming out.
Nothing's being produced.
Not really.
You don't give your body enough time to produce it.
Yeah, listen, what do you think your sack is hooked up to some sort of large reservoir somewhere?
Hey, we're talking about French here. He's all hooked up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? It's an endless amount of semen in that
body? Oh, he's the manliest man ever.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you got to start doing that hamster dance, Adam. Like, that's the secret.
How do you think he gets all that semen?
Is that what does it?
Oh, yeah.
French does the hamster dance and he produces an ungodly amount of semen? That's great.
French, the decorator.
I'm getting divorced tomorrow.
Yeah.
That just means that she speaks the truth.
French.
He's embarrassed. Yeah.
Nice.
I thought they might call them ranch, but...
Yeah. We're going French. All right. Wow, that's... That'd be nice in the bio. He's always talking about... You know, read a guy's bio. It's like, well, here's where he went to college, and his, here's what his folks did.
Here's what his wife says about him.
How about the endless amount of semen that comes out of his becker? How about that? That ought to be a storyline on Third Rock.
I didn't really say that.
Yeah. No. Well, he's not. He's a Martian. He's an alien, so, you know.
Oh, I see. That's right, yeah. Kristen?
Yes.
You're 20.
That's right.
What's up?
Oh, goodness. Well, first of all, I'm not a bad person. I'm not promiscuous at all, but I've been in a couple relationships, and I always cheat on my boyfriend. And it doesn't mean sex, but
cheat
always.
Cheat in such a way as to ruin the relationship?
Well, it always ends up that way.
Yeah, I'm magical.
I can't lie. And
You can't lie when you cheat.
Kind of.
Yeah, you sabotage the relationship, and then you tell the guy, and then, of course, he freaks out. Now you're out. You've avoided your intimacy successfully.
Result.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the reason I'm calling, I'm in a relationship now, and see, I really don't know what I expect to hear from you guys, but I really don't want to mess this up, and it just seems like this pattern, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's easy to say, well, yeah.
Do you have, before you started finding these nice guys that you sabotaged the relationships with, were you dating guys who were sort of jerks to you?
I have a tendency to go for the jerk.
Yeah. Now, these guys aren't jerks, though, that you're cheating on, right?
Sorry, what?
The ones you're cheating on aren't the jerks, is that right?
Well, yeah, actually, yeah.
Wait a minute, Drew, you can have, I know what you're going for here, which is the jerks she's attracted to, but then she says no more jerks, so she hooks up with a quote-unquote nice guy, but there's not enough excitement, there's not enough stimulation,
chaos.
There's not enough chaos, so she's going to stir it up and break up with the guy.
And probably cheat with a jerk.
Yes, but if you're into chaos, you'll stir it up with the jerk, too.
That's right.
I mean, so you'll cheat with the jerk as well. So, Kristen, you're freaked out about the whole intimacy thing, right?
I guess.
Where's your dad? Where'd he go?
He is out living his own life. Mm-hmm. Actually, I know you probably hear this every day, but him not being in my life is a good thing. He's very destructive and
Right. We understand that, but you're making a life's career out of finding your dad again.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did your dad cheat on your mom, or is he an alcoholic?
Both, yeah.
There you go.
Raging alcoholic.
All right.
Well, you're hell-bent on finding that guy again, and when you're not with him, you screw it up.
It's a nice little tip of the hat to the alcoholic abusive dad.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, those dads.
Yeah.
Kristen, get some therapy, please.
It's an homage. Yeah.
Please. You had to go to Al-Anon. That's something you could do. You got a sponsor, work the program. That'll serve a similar function.
Well, yeah, I don't want to tie you guys up too long, but I did go to a therapist.
For how many years?
Oh, it lasted about 3 months, because she was awful.
All right. Well, find a new one.
3 months is not adequate.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, therapists don't do anything anyway. They just sit there and say, uh-huh, and how did that make you feel? And you go, I was angry. And how did that make you feel? Well, I want to kill a guy. And then what did you feel? That's all they do.
What's that? What's that?
What's that? Where?
What's that feeling?
Right there?
Yeah.
That's anger. All right. That cost me $90. Hey, Kristen?
Yeah.
Listen, they ain't a fender shop. You understand?
Uh-huh.
It's a long, slow, expensive process that's worth it. And it's not really that... I mean, good therapists are better than bad therapists, but anyone will do in a storm, and that's what your life is right now. All right?
Okay.
All right, take care.
If they're tough on you, you may need that.
Good times, yeah. Jen?
Hey. Oh, man, I was going to trick you guys. I was going to pretend I was snoring.
All right. Well, thanks, Jen. You're 19. You just go screw with us, okay?
All right. That was it?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, we'll let you go.
Do you have a question? No question?
No, I don't have a question.
See you later.
No, I don't have a question?
No, I do.
Do.
Oh, okay. She does.
I thought she said don't.
She was going to snore.
I was going to snore.
What's up there, Jen?
I thought it was funny.
It went over big. Good times.
I am planning on getting liposuction.
Yeah.
And I don't... Is it... I don't understand what happens. They take out the fat, but... Does it grow back there?
No.
It will never grow.
You know what they do?
The cells are gone.
They know what they do? It's basically... And you're done.
Stop making that noise.
Well, there's different ways to do it. One is they can liquefy the cells with ultrasound. Yeah. Then they suck it out.
Why do you...
Well, you're 19.
Why do you want to do this?
Because I want to.
Oh, God.
You know, this is a surgical procedure, right? I mean,
yeah.
Well, what's
get any surgery you don't have to get?
What do you got? What do you got? Well, listen, that's easy, skinny, for you to say. This girl may have a big spare tire around her waist.
No, actually, I'm not fat at all. I'm actually pretty thin. I'm like 5'5", 120 pounds.
Do you have an eating disorder?
No, I don't. It's just that I worked out so much. I'm on a track team, and I go to the gym every single day, and I work out like crazy, and I cannot seem to get rid of what I want to get rid of.
What do you want?
What?
Like, I mean, just like a little, like my inner thighs touch in the middle. I mean, not big time, but just a little bit, and it bugs the crap out of me. When I wear shorts, I have to like keep pulling my shorts down. You know what I mean?
How often do you, so you work out every day?
Yeah, every day.
How many hours a day?
You know, I have track practice for 3 hours, and then I go to the gym for like two.
Uh-huh.
What do you, are you?
Sounds like an addiction to me.
What do you eat?
A little bulimic.
No, I don't, I totally eat like, so I eat healthy, but I eat a lot. I never, ever starve myself, ever, anything like that.
Yeah.
Work out 5 hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like that's an addiction to exercise.
You seem kind of obsessed with your body.
Yeah.
I mean, most women are, but a lot of guys are, too. But you seem to really be particularly, have a lot of energy with it.
The thing with that is that it's never, you're not going to feel okay once you get rid of that fat in the middle of your thighs. It'll be something else, your nose or your this or your that or the back of your arms or, you know, at a certain point, I think women have to.
You should get all that done. Is that what you're saying?
Stop it.
I agree with Catherine, by the way.
I think at a certain point, you get happy with yourself.
Right.
You have to get okay with yourself. Don't go mutilating yourself. It sounds like, you know, you probably look great if you're exercising 3 hours a day.
Yeah. Hey, Jen?
Yeah.
Give it a little time. When you're 19.
Yeah.
I have another question. Well, it's the same question, but different. How much is, if you do, can you do like a lot at one time, or should you take it like step by step?
You need to talk to somebody who does a lot of these procedures.
A lot of lipo?
Yeah.
There are some people that do, it's more of a research thing now, where they do large amounts by ultrasonographic liquefaction.
How much lipo would she need if she's a 5'5 and 110 pounds or
probably
whatever
none,
the hell
frankly. So.
She is. And have you ever heard of someone who was skinny's thighs, inner thighs, rubbing together? It was kind of. There's like parts missing from this story, but anyway. All right, let's do our own form of lipo, which involves urine being substituted for fat.
Let's go.
That's our move. All right, we'll be back. I was getting a more Latin kind of riff.
Yeah, at first I got that too, but then I thought, oh my God, this sounds just like the.
Where are you from, Esther?
Argentina.
Yeah, good call there, Drew.
Yeah, that's my accent, huh?
Yeah, it's becoming. I like it.
Okay.
And you've been with this guy. Where's this guy from?
He's from Texas also.
Yeah, he's not an Argentinian dude. These guys are passionate.
He's American and
Latin. That's right, he's a fat, lazy American who doesn't want to have sex.
Yeah.
So you've been with him for 3 years.
3 years.
And you haven't had sex in 8 months.
In 8 months, because of his stress.
His stress.
What is his stress?
Work. He's a workaholic.
What is he doing for work?
He does appraisals.
Does appraisals?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, something missing.
Something's up. And let me say this.
And I would say.
Let me ask this.
Drugs.
Drew's a workaholic, but also a very passionate man behind closed doors. Even sometimes with the door open, he's very passionate. And most guys who are workaholic are sort of lifeaholics.
Right.
They work 70 hours a week and bang a few hookers.
Well,
or whatever it is. You know what I mean? They can't turn it off.
That's what I do.
Usually. Yeah, you put in a 70-hour week, bang a few male prostitutes.
I didn't say male, but yeah.
Oh, right. Hookers. Yeah, sorry.
Sure. Well, but my
three sisters, 9:30.
Well, my thing is that actually he says he doesn't have any energy, but he does have energy to masturbate.
Yeah, Esther, you're missing something here. You're missing something big.
So I just can't get it.
No, you're missing something big about him and your relationship.
Like what?
I don't know. There's a giant piece of this puzzle missing. And either he's addicted to something, maybe sex, maybe speed, maybe things that make him not function sexually normally.
There's no drugs in his life.
Okay, well, listen, Esther. Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
There's something majorly wrong here, and it really doesn't have that much to do with his career.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
You understand that?
Yeah.
So, if you want to keep this relationship going, and he wants to, you guys are going to have to really discuss this realistically, and maybe get some counseling and do all that stuff. But don't talk about how many hours he's putting
that
in
at
the
office.
Yeah, that
is not at all. No way.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
All right.
Because as you find out, he does masturbate, and that's, you know, it takes the same amount of energy.
But he does that while he's on the cell phone driving to work. So let's be fair. He'll often masturbate while he's doing appraisals. Sure.
Which explains all the tie-ups on the 405.
Yeah, listen, ladies, don't listen to your guy. If he ain't being intimate for, you know, long, long periods of time, something is up.
Either medical or
psychological.
Or drug and alcohol.
Or he's just pulling out of the relationship.
Well, that's
he's just closing down.
Yeah, he's just on his way out.
Jordan?
Yes.
You're 17.
Yes.
What's up?
I have two questions for you, actually. About 4 years ago, my dad used to be a really bad alcoholic and really abusive towards my mom and my older sister. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, like, I've been really afraid of him. Like, I can't even stay at home by myself with him.
Has he stopped drinking?
Is he sober now? You said 4 years ago.
Yeah, he's sober now. He's been sober for 4 years.
Okay, have you talked to him about this?
No, see, I'm scared of him. I can't talk to him about anything. Like, if my mom, I can't stay at the house by myself with him.
Did he do something else to you?
No, and, like, that's weird because, like, 2 years ago I was raped by a peer from school.
Mm.
And, like, I have flashbacks sometimes and I have dreams about it, but when I have these flashbacks or dreams, I see my dad.
Well, that's fascinating, actually, because your dad is sort of what sets you up as a victim.
Uh-huh.
And I bet you didn't even report these rapes or didn't do anything about them.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, because that's the victim role you're used to playing from your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean your dad sexually abused you, but he set you up as a victim, and these idiot victimizers picked up on that and took advantage of it.
Okay.
What'd he do to your mom and your sister?
Oh, he would beat them. He would, like, emotionally abuse them, tell them that they were little sluts, and I don't know, he just abused us all in some way, shape, and form that he could. So.
All right. And what got him sober?
He almost killed my mom one time, and my mom had threatened to leave him. And so they went to counseling classes together, and they both got sober together.
Oh, she was drinking, too.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got your hands full. Hey, it's another Al-Anon request tonight here. Yeah. Jordan, you got to get into that Al-Anon.
What is Al-Anon?
It's an organization like AA for people involved with, close to, the addict or alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 12-step program, and it gives you the kinds of relationships and support that they now have to deal with their disease. Same thing for you, to help you deal with being involved with someone with this disease. And it really requires some very substantial internal change, dealing in a close, intimate relationship with another person, trusting that person, and digging through a lot of these feelings that you had as a result of being in this relationship with your dad.
See, I don't know if I want to trust him.
I understand there's a lot of ambivalence about this, but if you want to do better in your relationships and feel better overall, you've got to do this.
Not necessarily with your dad, but Al-Anon.
No, just Al-Anon.
Yeah. I don't know if your dad deserves it, quite frankly.
Sound like she's got reason to be scared.
Yeah, I
leave that alone for
a while. Why don't you talk to your mom about it, but hey, they both sound like a piece of work. I mean, how about you just work on getting out of the house?
Yeah, I've tried. They won't, like, I've left, and they have tried everything under their power to get me back.
Well, I mean, like, when are you going to be 18?
Go to college.
I'll be 18 in April.
All right, so then you can leave the house.
Right.
Can you go to college?
Yeah, I can, but I don't want to leave my little sisters here because they're kind of going through the same thing. I don't want them to have to go through.
All right, well, then have it out with your mom and see what's up with dad through your mom.
I mean,
they've been sober for a while. Go to Al-Anon. Everyone, go to Al-Anon. Even if your parents were straight arrows, go to Al-Anon. I mean, I hate everyone. I hate all these parents. I really do. You know, it always breaks your heart because you're like, get out of the house. And they're like, I got an 8-year-old sister is left behind. Listen, you screwball parents. How pathetic is it that your kids are looking after their siblings, you know, trying to protect
them from you?
From you? Please, would you have some goddamn pride out there? Stop it. Stop screwing with your kids, everybody. And what a legacy.
What's wrong with people? Where's the guilt mechanism? I don't get it.
Oh, they got screwed with.
Their
and now
parents
they're screwing with.
And we have a society. Listen, we're living a time when the the predominant attitude of the society is do what you want, divorce
is
no big deal.
That's true.
You know, your kids take care of themselves, they're resilient. It's total BS. Could not be further from the truth.
Right.
That the kinds of belief systems.
But, you know, as a mother and as a woman, you know, that's just something instinctual that inside me that tells me that. It doesn't have much to do with, you know, mirroring the parenting that I had.
Yeah, but
so I always wonder what's off with people that they don't feel something about what they're doing.
Well, they are off, but you didn't come from like raging abusive alcoholics, or did you?
Or if you did, what will happen is you'll have moments where that stuff gets through, and your child will remember those moments and will have those kinds of calls. You understand what I'm saying?
Wait, what?
That even though your parenting 85-90% of the time is instinctual and appropriate and connected, you may still 10 or 20% of the time still have a breakthrough of the same stuff that was delivered to you by your parents.
Well, what I'm saying is this these callers, you know, just the parents that they have, I wonder what's just being a female. There's just that maternal instinct is so strong. You know so strongly when you're off. I don't get it. I don't get where's the malfunction? I have it really strongly. I have a huge guilt mechanism if I don't feel like I'm spending enough time with my son if I feel like I'm too angry or whatever it is.
But you can say that about any... I mean, there's a sub-population in society that murders, that rapes, that, you know, abuses their children, that are pedophiles. You know, I mean, they're all missing that part.
But this doesn't seem like this is a small subculture of people that are calling
tens of millions.
No.
Tens of millions.
No, it is. But it's like,
when are people going to start talking about child abuse? It feels like that's still such a hidden issue.
Please.
It's still such a secret issue. It's just such a secret
Every
issue.
Every night we talk about this.
Yeah. Do an episode of Three Sisters about it.
Good idea.
We're doing our thing over here. Come
I mean,
on,
it's
you guys
all kinds
something.
Of abuse. You see all the different kinds of abuse kids are going through, and it all makes them a victim, and then we go into a world where they're victimized over and over again.
Right.
And our solution is the morning after pill. That's the best solution we can come up with.
Well, let's
don't have kids that are not wanted, or if you shouldn't be a parent, don't have kids.
If you're going to be a real bad parent, let's not have kids. That's my quick solution. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. We'll be back. Discussion during the break about abuse and...
Fun times.
Oh.
Good times.
Light topics.
Good
time? Yeah.
Is that
good
it? Good times? Good times.
Yeah.
Is that Anna Gasteyer we're doing?
Good times.
Good times.
All right. John?
Yes, hi.
You're 16. What's up?
Well, I have a question. Yeah. The tip, I'm not circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the actual tip has like these little tinsy-wincy bumps. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
It's probably the pearly penile papules.
Huh?
Oh, John.
Did you have to go turn your radio up in the middle of the conversation?
Yeah, I turned it off.
All right.
It's probably the pearly penile papules.
There's another band name.
Yeah, but I've been having it since I've noticed ever since.
John, they're the pearly penile papules, which are normal.
It's normal.
Yeah, probably.
You're okay. You're not sexually active, are you?
Yes, I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Who is holding still long enough for you to hump them?
No.
I pity the fool that lets John hump them.
No, not that. I don't look 16.
I see.
Are you sex? You've had intercourse?
You are sexually active.
You have had intercourse?
Yes.
I see, John, I see you as one of those sort of behemoth man-child guys with the bad mustache.
Bad mustache. Actually, no, I've never shaved my mustache before.
Right, yeah, I see you with the teenage mustache that never been...
Yeah,
that's what
exactly.
I'm picturing, yeah.
No, I get good compliments on that.
All right, John.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's very classic.
Yeah, I'm Mexican, so yeah.
John, did you have these
like
bumps?
Like Red Butler from Gone with the Wind, I'm sure.
Did you have these bumps before you were sexually active?
Yes,
okay,
I've had them ever since.
All right, it's the pearly patch.
And John, what are you weighing in at?
Me, what do I weigh?
Yeah.
I just weighed myself today. I weigh 275.
Yeah. See? All right. Remember I said man child?
Yeah.
Okay. With teenage mustache?
Would these go away or?
Yeah.
Probably not.
All right. Well, whatever. It's good times.
Good times.
Ladies like a little.
My girlfriend, she was kind of like, she, you know.
Hi, John, I'm just trying to imagine what these are, and I suspect they're the pearly penile papules, but. See a dermatologist or actually any doctor will be fine if you have some more concerns about
That's ribbed for her pleasure,
yes.
As they say. Well, I really got a very vivid,
Clear, yeah.
very vivid picture of him.
Yeah. Baby Huey.
Yeah, it's a Latino baby Huey.
Yeah.
Baby Hildago.
Too, too vivid of a picture.
Yeah, that mustache. Yeah. Penis. Now I see the penis in there, too. Shauna, 275, right? Shauna?
Yeah?
You're 27. What's up?
Okay. I am a grad student, and I'm currently pursuing my degree for substance abuse counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, it doesn't seem like that for the last 3 years, every man that I go out with eventually turns out to have some sort of an issue with alcohol or drugs. And I honestly meet these men in professional situations. You know,
but you understand what this is. You're studying it.
Because I really don't think that I realize that these people are having a problem with alcohol.
But Shauna, these people may be a decade off from their disease ever activating, but alcoholics have a unique biology and a unique genetic makeup, and because you had a parent or somebody important in your life with that disease, even when the disease isn't active, your right brain, your subconscious, your emotional brain will tune into those qualities, and that gets turned into attraction. Those traumas in childhood become attractions in adulthood.
Really? See, this is what my brother's telling me.
Yes. Okay,
you're studying the damn disease, Shauna. Why don't you... Wait, you're studying the damn disease. Why aren't you understanding this?
I don't know, because I really honestly feel like I would have no way of knowing that this...
Because it's not an intellectual conscious process. It is the right side of your brain. I would suggest you study attachment theory.
Okay.
A guy named Alan Shore, S-C-H-O-R-E, over at UCLA.
Okay.
Give you a little insight into where attachment comes from and how those mechanisms work.
There's a movie you could rent called Jury Duty by Pauly Shore. It's the same spelling. Same spelling, Drew?
I think Pauly's S-H.
I got hit on by Pauly Shore last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had dyed his hair white. He was hanging out on Sunset Plaza.
I really just want to know how to stop this.
First off, was somebody in your family an alcoholic?
I grew up with a tumultuous...
Yeah, recovering from the family history of alcoholism is not an intellectual process.
No, I have done years of counseling to deal with this, and my parents are both recovered.
Well, why didn't you...
I've dealt with the issues with them. I've forgiven them for all of their indiscretions.
What kind of therapy did you do?
I did one-on-one counseling in high school, and then in after years high school, I did about 3 years.
Same therapist?
No, after high school, it was different therapist. When I was in high school, I was seeing a school counselor.
Well, for whatever reason, this was not substantial work you did, and the work that has to be done is the work of Al-Anon recovery. You've got to do your own 12-step program if you really want to stop this pattern. Now, individual therapy can work for this, but for whatever reason, it did not in your case.
Big Al-Anon night.
Yeah, huge.
And,
you know,
there's the very subtle traits that the alcoholic will give off to the other alcoholic, like the trail of vomit and the lampshade that they wear in their head. I mean, a layman could not pick it up, but a trained eye... Like one of our eyes.
Yeah.
We get right on it, right?
Nice, very nice.
Jennifer?
Yeah?
What's up?
I've noticed that I am attracted, or like, I end up liking guys that are older than me, and they end up being like authoritative figures, like teachers.
Al-Anon.
Good times.
Good times.
Does anybody ever respond to you when you sort of...
No, because I never act on it.
That's fine. It's normal then.
You're attracted to older guys not acting on it.
But I was wondering, I was sexually abused when I was
little. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well,
and why
not normal.
Why don't you think, well, it's getting more normal. Have you, how come you haven't acted on any of this stuff?
Because, I don't know, they're older and I didn't think, you know.
She's not going to start until she's 17.
I see. You know what I'm saying, Jennifer? I mean, have you ever gotten any counseling?
Yeah, I've tried several different people, and I just can't seem to find someone that I can really open up to.
Well, magically, you're not going to trust anyone, okay, because of what's happened to you. And until you do, there's no way to get over this stuff.
Am I going to be able to get over it with counseling?
Sure. What happened to you?
My brother's sexually abused me when I was 6 and then when I was 10.
Your brothers?
Yeah.
So you have a couple of brothers?
Mm-hmm.
And how old are they now?
21 and 25.
Oh, boy.
Do they have kids?
Uh-oh.
What are they doing? Are they in jail?
Where do they live so we can go beat the crap out of them?
They live by me. I see them all the time.
Oh, good times. And what are they doing okay in their life?
Yeah, well, one of them
They work construction?
One of them was severely addicted to heroin for several years. And I don't know, the other one, I had always been concerned that he was abusing his girlfriend, but I never said anything just because I didn't have any proof.
Right.
So I didn't really know.
All right. All right, so, hey, Jennifer, you got to take care of yourself now. Right? You got to find a counselor that fits, and don't be so picky. Just open up to the next person you sit down with, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Jennifer.
What are you doing there, Drew? What's up? It's a freaky night.
Yeah.
A lot of, it's like big problem night.
Yeah.
And listen, we were talking during the break about this. The only solution I can think to any of this is just screwballs can't have kids.
Right.
I mean, that's it. I know I'm compared unfavorably to Hitler, by the way.
Measure unfavorably.
Yeah, when I bring this up. But listen, that is the solution. All right, we go into line two here?
Yeah.
Steve?
Yes?
You're 29. What's up?
I was wondering, is it normal to enjoy having things put in your anus? Like, you know, like when my wife does sexual things to me.
Yeah. What's she putting in there? Like when French does the hamster dance?
No. Like the back of...
Say it was with the real hamster.
Like the back of the brush. You know, like...
Wait, what was that?
Back of the brush?
Yeah.
Yeah, not the business end of the brush.
No, the back of it, like the...
Right.
The handle.
Yeah, I just don't want to be like, you know, turning gay or anything.
No,
that, but
you're fine.
Gay, turning gay.
No.
You could catch gay, though.
That won't turn you gay.
Okay.
You camp with a gay guy.
What?
That'll turn you gay.
Then you could catch some gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But brush handles in the keister? No.
Well, it depends on how many times she turns the brush. Then she could turn you gay if she turned it, it 14
right.
times?
I was wondering, have you ever tried that, Adam?
Yep.
It feels good.
Good times, yeah.
Good stuff.
I usually use Brill Cream as lube because it's right there. You know, I usually keep it right next to the
brush.
I
heard the real men don't need the lube.
Pomade. Pomade at least, right?
Yeah.
It amplifies the feeling. Like,
yeah,
oh,
sure.
Buddy, just spit on it.
Yeah.
I had another question for
you.
No. Steve, we don't have any time. Sorry, pal.
On there.
You're doing fine. It's just... You could get hepatitis from using the brush, like whoever just came in there, right? I mean, you got to wash your brush off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, please.
Right. We'll take a little break. We'll be back.